Well, hello, friends. Welcome back to Bible Sunshine. It is Thursday, November 12th, and I'm not sure what happened yesterday. We were going along in our study, and then it just quit, and we could not get back our Facebook Live. So hopefully today we won't have any problem. We'll be able to move ahead in our study of Joshua chapter 6. I want to read once again the beginning verses of Joshua 6. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. Then it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him." So Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord." And he said to the people, "Proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord." So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout." So he had the ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. Well, let's go to prayer and ask the Lord to bless these words to our hearts today. Father, thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the account of Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. I pray that you will make application to our hearts. You'll give us understanding to understand the detail that is here in Scripture. Thank you, Lord, for the accuracy that comes from divine inspiration of the Bible. Bless our hearts today in your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Perhaps this is one of the best known stories, accounts of the Bible. Maybe David and Goliath are number one and this is number two. I don't know, but this is very well known, Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. Maybe the details aren't always known, but the big picture often known. I'd like to add a little application at the beginning toward practice in the local church. When we had small children, we attended a church, and it was a good church. But we were visiting there, and when we came home over dinner, I said, "So what did you all learn in your Sunday school?" And one of the kids, about 3 years old, maybe 4 years old, said, "Oh, we watched a Barney film, a video on Barney." I said, "You did what?" "We watched Barney." And I want to say, friends, the Bible is the most dramatic book in the world. Teach it to 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds. march around a desk, put some blocks on it, pretend it's Jericho, and then have the kids knock the walls down. They will love it. This is a great account in Scripture. And tell them about the power of God. Teach the Word of God, not just some funny human story that has no spiritual significance. Teach the Scriptures. All right, well, got that out of my system. So let's start. Basically, I'm starting over today since we got cut off yesterday. So we're on the observation stage. That's the first stage in inductive Bible study. And the first question is, what was the condition of Jericho at this time and is now significant? Quote unquote now. So we have here, verse 1, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. So Jericho was securely closed up. The ancient world would use walls around their cities. Makes total sense for safekeeping, for protection. And Jericho was a walled city, and there would be city gates. Well, the gates were closed, and Jericho was securely shut up, and it doesn't specifically say there were guards, but I'm sure that was the case as well. So it was a fortified city, it was secure, and the inhabitants were afraid. It says they were shut up because of the children of Israel. The inhabitants were fearful of Israel. The first word of verse 1 is now. Now, is that significant? Well, yes. If you go back to chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, you remember the account of Joshua meeting the commander of the army of the Lord. Now, remember, chapter divisions are artificial. They're extremely helpful, but they were not in the original text of Scripture. So there is a break here, a logical break in our chapter and number system, and it's a good place to have a break, but the now connects us to what was before that. But it inserts some parenthetical information. Go back to verse 13. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. That's when he saw the vision of the commander of the army of the Lord. Or I should say just an appearance of the commander of the army of the Lord. And now chapter 6 verse 1 gives us some parenthetical information. Here is some detail inserted so that we would understand the picture. And the picture is that Jericho is tightly closed up. It's fortified. It is protected, undoubtedly guarded. Notice it says, none went out and none went in. A horrific kind of quarantine. Here they were, isolated, shut up in this city. Why? Because they had heard about the children of Israel and what had happened to them. Notice verse 2, and here's question 2 of observation. What had the Lord done for Joshua, and when had he done it? The Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. I'm wondering if verse 2 actually picks up from verse 15, where the commander of the Lord's army is speaking to Joshua. And we have that parenthetical verse with the now giving us additional information. And then the message to Joshua is picked up. Well, what did the Lord say in verse 2? See, I have given Jericho into your hand. God had given the city of Jericho into Joshua's hand. That is, Joshua the warrior, the general, would conquer. He would be victorious here in Jericho. But notice the timing of this. The Lord had done this. When had he done this? Chapter 6 is going to tell us the details of the battle with Jericho and the conquering of Jericho. But verse 2 sounds like it's already happened. And in God's mind, it had already happened. It was, we could say, a positional truth. Joshua, this city is going to be yours. In my eyes, it's as good as done. I have completed this. You are going to have victory in Jericho. Not only the city will be committed to your hand, that is your power and your conquest, but its king and the mighty men of valor, the warriors, they're all going to be committed to your hand. You are going to be victorious in the city of Jericho. So this makes me think, and I'm jumping ahead to correlation to Ephesians, where it says that we are seated in the heavenly places. That's our positional truth. But then we're told in chapter 4 to have a worthy walk. That's our practical truth on this earth. We are to walk worthy of the calling with which we've been called, knowing what we are in position, seated in the heavenly places. Well, Jericho is as good as done for Joshua. God had given it. That's the position. But still to come was the practical battle and Joshua's obedience. Well, in verses 3 through 5a, let's outline God's instruction step by step. The instruction that God gave to Joshua concerning Jericho. So notice verse 3. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. First step, men of war go around the city. Notice the detail. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. So verse 3 tells us, step number 1, men of war will go around the city once for 6 days. Then notice verse 4. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. So 7 priests with 7 trumpets shall march before the Ark of the Covenant. That's God's instruction. But on the 7th day, the last part of verse 4, but the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. So the 7th day goes 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. And then in verse 5, then it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Here's step number 4. When the priests make a blast on the trumpets, the people are going to shout. And then look what happens. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat. And then the people shall go up, every man straight before him. So here is step by step God's instructions to Joshua concerning Jericho. Now we observe here that he says, make these blasts. The priests were to make these blasts on a ram's horn. So I want to introduce to you a ram's horn, a shofar. I have one here. This is a small one, but it is a very special little horn. And you can imagine how this would have been on a ram's horn. And there's a little hollowed place here for a mouthpiece. So I'm going to blow this for you, or attempt to blow it for you. Probably the ones they had were bigger than this. Some are quite long, and some maybe were smaller. I don't know, but they could make quite a sound. So you can see how that sound could have alarmed the inhabitants of Jericho. Interesting details here that the priests were involved in this battle of Jericho step by step as God commanded. All right, question number four. From verses 3 and 4, can you identify the sevens in this passage? You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day, okay, so we have 6 plus 1, 7 days. And then we have 7 priests. And then we have 7 trumpets. And then on that 7th day, 7 times around. 7, 7, 7, 7. Or one of those sevens is 6 plus 1, 7. So I have to hasten to interpret that a bit. A 7 is a number of God's perfection. So this is the specific instruction he gave here. Notice these details. 4 sevens. All right, in verse 5b, then it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat. What would be the outcome of God's orders to Joshua? The wall will fall down flat. Now we may step back and say, well, why all of this? Why the ram's horns? Why the marching around? Could not God have made the wall fall down flat when they went around the wall the first time? Well, of course he could have. But let's save a little bit of that for interpretation and application. Do you think there's anything to do with trust and obedience here? Interesting. Think about it. Well, verses 6 through 9, let's outline the order of the procession around Jericho. This is quite a procession. List each group in order and list their function. Verse 6, so Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and he said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. So we have the priest in front of the Ark. But look at verse 7. He said to the people, proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord. So first of all are the armed men. They prepare the way. They give advance protection. And then we have the 7 priests with the 7 trumpets. They are giving preparation, sound, and even worship. So we have the 7 priests with the trumpets. Then we have the priest with the Ark of the Covenant. And let's read on. So it was, when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the Ark while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. So you see the detail here. There is a front guard, an armed guard in front. They're preparing the way. Then there are the 7 priests with the trumpets. Then there are the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And then there's a rear guard. Protection in front, protection in behind, with the priests with their trumpets blowing, signs of worship and dependence. Wonderful details here. Read ahead, Joshua chapter 6. And work out the answers on your study sheets. And Lord willing, we'll be back studying chapter 6 on Tuesday. In the meantime, we want to go to prayer for 2 countries. These two are both island groups. The Cape Verde Islands. Maybe you haven't even heard of these. But here are some islands off the coast of Africa. Off the coast of West Africa. And we want to take them to prayer today. It's a wealthy place. Pray that the wealth... I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. That's the next group of islands. Pray here for economic and ecological problems must be wisely addressed. Scant resources were poorly managed in the past, intensifying Cape Verde's poverty. Pray for government leaders who will make good decisions. And pray here for gospel truth. There is a high amount of religion here, but pray for true gospel message and gospel truth. The second group of islands are the Cayman Islands in the Caribbean. So we go from islands in the North Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Africa, the Cape Verde Islands, to the Cayman Islands there in the Caribbean, west of Jamaica, west of Cuba. These islands have a lot of wealth. And here's the prayer request. Pray that the wealth of the islands may be used to extend God's kingdom. Well over 1 million tourists visit the islands each year. Pray for many to be confronted by the claims of Christ while in pursuit of pleasure. Let's do that. Let's pray that God will work in a mighty way in the Cayman Islands and bless the gospel preaching churches there, even to reaching tourists. Father, we thank you today that there is no island too small, no island group so remote that you don't know every inhabitant. Lord, you know who truly belongs to you in the Cape Verde Islands. There's a lot of religion there, but I pray, Lord, that you will multiply gospel preaching ministry. Send laborers there. Multiply the influence of Bibles and Bible studies and gospel churches there. Strengthen and encourage true believers. May they be a witness to penetrate the darkness of religion without the grace of God. And Father, I pray for the Cayman Islands and all their wealth and all their tourism. Lord, I pray for those Bible preaching churches that are there that you will encourage them. Strengthen the pastors, strengthen the deacons, the elders, strengthen the missionaries, the evangelists, and multiply the churches, multiply the scriptures. And Lord, I pray that you will lay it on the heart of many of the churches to reach out to tourists, maybe someone from somewhere, even the United States or somewhere else in the world is there, and it's there that they hear the gospel. Multiply their witness to tourists from all over the world, we pray. Thank you, Lord, that you are at work in the world today. And Lord, I pray for the United States of America. I pray, Lord, that you will get our attention through this whole election process, through this pandemic of the coronavirus. Lord, turn hearts to you. And we pray that the will of God will be accomplished in this land, that the truth of God will go forward. We pray, Lord, that our freedom of religion will continue, that we may be a sending base for missionaries. Stir our hearts for the glory of God, we pray. In Jesus' mighty and powerful name, amen. Well, God bless you, dear friend. We thank God that we didn't have any breaks today. I trust that you have a wonderful weekend and that you will find yourself with the people of God singing, praying, worshiping, hearing the Word of God. May God's light shine brightly on you today.